Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Jake Gibb. You're in the net live.
This is Taiba Hanif Park, and you are in the net live.
Aloha, this is Mike Lambert, and you are in the net live.
Loy Ball, and you're on the net live.
Ryan Malar, you're in the net live.
No, that was totally wrong.
Hey, this is Karch Kira, and you're in the net live with Willie and Barney.
Man, I need some applause this morning.
Woo!
You are dragging, my friend.
It's not going to get much above this for me. Welcome to the Net Live, ladies and gentlemen. 20th of December 2010. Live from Redondo Beach home court. We're glad you decided to join us. It's myself, Kevin Barnett, sitting in with Chris Geeter McGee.
Hi.
Good to have you here. Thanks for listening. I'm just back from Kansas City, overnight trip. Felt like an overnight trip. Just stayed up all night. Had a super early flight from Kansas City.
When did you fly home?
I got home yesterday at 10 a.m.
When did you get out there?
I got out there on Wednesday in the evening, about 8. Had a great time. Ate some barbecue.
Good barbecue in KC.
Oh, man.
It's a great town.
They brought me
Fun
a barbecue.
City, good downtown.
Great, great city. Great place for this entire event. We were at the downtown Marriott right there on 12th Street.
How was the crowd, by the way?
Crowd was excellent. Really
better
excellent.
Thursday or better Saturday?
Better Saturday, but not by much. Quite honestly, it was mostly full both nights. Really a great crowd. And I salute to the Husker Nation, by the way. They're about 3 hours away, I think it was, by car. Their team's not in it, and there was a sea of red through one whole section. Still showed up, still fans, wanted to see the Final Four, even though the Huskers weren't there.
It's impressive.
Big props to them. So, great event. The downtown Marriott was about a mile or so from the Sprint Center, which, by the way, is a beautiful arena. I can't believe there is an NBA team there that plays. Somebody told me that Kansas plays there occasionally or used to until they redid their gym. A really beautiful arena, well put on event. Had an opportunity to sit in some boxes with the Zamps people, with USA Volleyball. Really a whole lot of fun. And also the downtown life, you mentioned it, lots of bars and nightlife and scene for the coaches to kind of decompress after what's been a long season and also a kind of jam-packed days. They go there. I'd never been to the convention, and I was impressed by the sheer scale of the whole thing.
Do they all meet with their each conference? Do they meet together? Like what happens at these things?
I don't know if there's conference meetings. I know there's assistant coaches meeting. I know that there's all kinds of presentations going on, national team coaches. Different coaches are asked to speak on different topics, both team-related and skill-wise.
Like Feely did an analysis on the semifinals.
Okay.
He did like a side-out analysis or something like
that.
I
think he did some statistical analysis.
Statistical analysis.
Yeah, right before he was on the live show that we had back on Friday. He was headed off to do that, and looking dapper, by the way. I don't think I mentioned it on air. I wanted to ask Mike Seeley what he thought of the spring fashions that were coming out. He's wearing a black scarf, black sweater, black shoes, black pants, black coat.
He looked very fashionable at Coley Kymen's 40th Saturday night, too. He flew home and went right to that in the OC.
So black ensemble, or did you go maybe red?
No, he had some black on.
Man, it matches his hair very nicely.
He's got the nice silver fox look going these days.
He does. He was looking really good. And for those of you that tune in on Mondays, we did have a special show on Friday. Great show. Started with Hugh McCutchen right off the bat.
It wasn't that great. I was not a part of it.
We had Hugh McCutchen to replace you. I think we've covered it. But he sat in, Brandon Rosendahl and myself as hosts, and sat in with Hugh McCutchen for what turned out to be like 25 minutes right off the bat with the show. And for those of you who have not heard it yet, go back and listen to it, please. If you're a coach at any level or if you're a business manager at any level, go back and listen to Hugh's thoughts on managing people. Because that's really what this coaching job is. There's X's and O's, but it's managing people. And the things he had to say in that 25 minutes were awesome. Simply awesome. And we're going to lift some fun quotes from there. My favorite, it's not all ponies and rainbows.
I like to say kittens and candles, but I'm going to start saying ponies and rainbows now.
Not all ponies and rainbows. And
let me ask you this.
About an axiom, too, which
top
I didn't understand.
Top five interview in all volleyball, do you put Hugh in the conversation? You have to.
Oh, man. in the whole sport.
This isn't even the netties, and I'm throwing this out at you.
Yeah.
That should be added
He may be number one because he says stuff in a folksy, funny manner and says stuff unexpected but valuable.
So he is in the top five.
He is absolutely. Speaking.
He's in the gym. He's battling.
He's back in the gym. That's right. We're going to have to talk to him about whether he's on board with our program. Let's tell you about what's going on here. We're going to talk a little bit more about the Final Four. We're going to talk about the fourth straight championship by Penn State. An unbelievable run. Is it good for volleyball? Is it bad for volleyball? We'll talk about that whole thing. The AVCA convention wrap-up. Oh, I've gone through a little bit of it. We'll talk more about some of the events that were there. We're going to push the netties off a week. I wanted to give our annual netties, our 2010 yearly awards, best player, best moment, most influential for this year, most influential for next year.
We got to dedicate a show to it.
Yeah, it's going to be next Monday.
Can't have you sick half-assing it.
No. So we'll push that forward, but we'll have that. Big interview coming today. You mentioned one of the top 10 guys or top 10 interviews, top 5 interviews.
He's in it.
Russ Rose.
Tough to get him, and you get him 2 days after the title.
Hey, we dropped the line. You want to come on the net live? Yes. So he'll be here in about 25 minutes. Look forward to talking to Russ.
Do you remember Indecent Proposal when Woody and Demi threw the $1 million onto the bed and just lied there? Do you think he just throws all 5 rings and just rolls around? Because he has 5 rings, dude. I mean, Russ Rose. It's Phil Jackson.
It's one for the thumb. That was this year, one for the thumb.
One for the thumb.
I saw last year's ring. It's gaudy. Just gaudy. Awesome.
Gaudy.
Gaudy.
What's wrong with you?
Hey, listen, we also have out there with people who want to listen to a fake New Jersey accent, we've got a volleyball carol up on our Facebook site from Matt Gardhoff. More doll play. More voiceover. Really a hilarious thing that Matt Gardhoff, one of the listeners, put together. 7 minutes. Worth 7 minutes just to see AVP Pro Mike Morrison.
Do you think that was nice of you after Texas got absolutely boat raced to text me and say, that speech must have been great that you gave them?
I know you care. I know you got a little upset on the text. It came through.
It was emotional, and I apologized 2 hours later.
It came through the words. You were a little upset about
that. Is Reed on the line?
I think what it is Dan Madden is the guy who emailed me immediately.
Yeah.
And said, hey, look at this video. Remember when I talked to Penn State? Still hasn't stopped. What Geeter got on me.
Yeah, his speech was a dead medium. Let's be honest. It was funny. He jumped up on the thing. But, I mean, as far as speeches go, it wasn't like it was, you know.
It was a retake, too.
Yeah.
Billy Allen forgot to hit record the first time.
Yeah, it was, you know, dead medium.
Yeah, so your speech didn't get it done. Texas looked a little bit overmatched.
I'm 28-3 now. Speeches, damn.
Well, we had the show, too. Have we won? Far. Has the show won? When will we determine that from your speech last week?
We haven't won yet. Yeah, Penn State just looked better.
Yeah, Penn State.
They looked better than everybody.
Penn State beat Texas. Texas just looked nervous. They did not handle the ball well.
SC ran out of gas.
Penn State looked like they just had a great system going.
Cal looked nervous, I thought, in the finals. They just didn't play that great.
You know what? Tara Murray, great player, great outside hitter. Love the way she attacks the ball most of the time. Tara Murray freaked out at the end. She did not go down swinging in set number 2. She had a chance, swing for the match. Did a half swing into the middle blocker. And then she had a tip that was, you know, in the rally to lose
it. Yeah, you can't do that.
No, if you're a hitter, if you're the hitter, the way Tara Murray is the hitter for her team, you go down swinging. That's it. Hey, you hear a little chatter in the background. It's Christmas break. The home court has some action.
Yeah, Madden is in full effect here with Barney's 2 sons.
Yeah, the boys are all about Madden. That's their thing. That's their
jam. Nice father-son moment a little while ago. Just
see how it worked. I asked them to be quiet. They're still talking.
Yeah, I mean, at that moment, though, they were listening to you. They knew how important the show was.
They've forgotten now. They're sitting down by the Christmas tree looking at all the presents. Yeah. So, second semifinal, you mentioned Cal and SC. SC just looked like some freshmen that ran out of gas.
And Cal looked like a team that was destined to win the national championship. I mean, Lloyd was so good. They were in rhythm. Their outsides were bombing. They didn't play that way in the finals.
The helmet was passing. It was awesome.
Yes.
Now they played a good match. And then,
did you see Karch out there?
I did, briefly at dinner. I sat one over from him at dinner. Said hi to him. That's about it. Not sure. Could be a feud there. I don't know if he listens to the program.
Tell me he's in the gym.
Updates. Said, I don't know if it's you or Riley Salmon, dude. Not sure who's making it. One of the two of you is going to back up Sean Rooney. So. All right. AVCA convention.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
If you don't beat Penn State this year, they might win 5 more in a row. I mean, who's beating them now?
Here was a quote to me.
I mean, they have 3 freshmen on the court?
Here's a quote to me from a legendary coach in the sport of beach volleyball. I'm not going to say who, someone of extreme credit, said to me, if Penn State wins this year, with essentially a converted outside hitter as center, if they win this year, everyone else in the conference, everyone else in volleyball is not doing their job.
When did they say that? This weekend?
During the final, as Cal had won, or pardon me, as
a legendary
Cal had lost
beach
at number
volleyball
two.
Coach?
Indoor volleyball coach.
Oh, okay.
College indoor volleyball coach.
Legendary indoor volleyball coach.
Yeah. Said everyone else is failing to do their job if Russ wins this year.
Guess we're all failing.
There you have it. Well, you got a gold medal, but we bring that up even when you're not on the show.
I love that.
Did you bring it up
yeah,
Friday?
We did.
Brandon, you guys did?
Thanks.
I'm sure it worked in there somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think Russ knows about it, but.
Convention was good.
Yep.
Had an interesting moment on Friday night, right after the show. Went directly from the show to MC the dinner, the All-American dinner for the AVCA. Great event. All the All-Americans, our coaches, parents, friends, family, everybody there. And got the chance to interview everybody. So this year, in lieu of speeches, they would come up, get introduced, take a picture with Misty May.
Kind of like The Bachelor.
That got mentioned.
You would just sit there, like
sit down and
Chris
chat.
Rose? Is that the guy's name?
Yeah, and actually that got mentioned that it was like The Bachelor.
Yeah.
And I dropped a yes, and this will be the most exciting Rose ceremony
ever.
But sat down with everybody after each one of them got their award and a couple questions. Girls were a little nervous.
Yeah.
Didn't know what kind of questions I was going to ask. And the first three or so, the Division II, Division III, NAIA Players of the Year. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Weird format. And we had dinner. Now the Division I players have had some time to think about it. They get a chance to come up. Some off-the-wall questions. What's a runza, which is a strange cabbage concoction in Nebraska, only available in Nebraska. Kind of like a bagel dog, except with cabbage and meat.
Dude, you lost me.
What? Yeah, it's a runza. Look it up. Get on the internet right now. Runza, R-U-N-Z-A. But funny stuff like that. You know, who would you choose if your brother was... Which one of your brothers would you choose as your partner if you had a co-ed tournament for one of the ladies? Kind of quirky. So I asked Nebraska All-American Brooke. I said, Brookie, was the ball in or out? That was the last question. I said, one more question. Was the ball in or out? Crowd gave a huge groan. Huge groan. Oh. I said, would John Cook like to come up and answer the question instead? So she answered. She looked, kind of composed herself and said, that ball was out.
I love that answer.
She just delivered. It was great.
Beautiful.
So lots of kind of funny moments. Good stuff with the young women who are winning those awards.
The message board wants to know who that legendary coach was.
Well, we're going to have to hold that till another time.
Really?
I think Reed Pretty is available. I'm not sure, but I think he's available.
Why do you think that coach said that?
Because Russ keeps winning, and he keeps winning in a way that's dominant. I mean, he went undefeated, didn't lose a single set through the entire tournament. And people talked about it, and I picked against him because he hadn't really faced anybody through the brackets. But honestly, went in and embarrassed the first round, just absolutely embarrassed them, dominated.
Well,
it's
funny,
even
we all talked about the road that they had, and that road didn't matter. When they got to the Final Four, they throttled everyone as well.
Yeah, and I know, listen, I had a great conversation with Jared Elliott. You did the speech for Texas, but Texas did not play well in that match. No,
they got crushed.
They got
beat in every aspect of the game. And I talked to Jared about this. The ball control, I mean, Penn State made plays, ball control plays. They were physical on the outside. The setter took over the game in game one right away, set the tone, dumped at the right time. They deserve to win. I think, and I don't know, but I mean, and we should ask Russ, this one might have meant more than any of them because I don't know if he expected it. I mean, but I don't know because
they definitely struggled this year.
Yeah,
it wasn't the dominating 38-0. It was a fight to get better every day in the gym and arrive at this moment ready.
Whatever Russ does and his staff does to prepare these girls for when they're in the biggest moment, being able to play at that level. They continue to do it. It's not easy to do. I remember when Matt Leinart was a senior, Pete Carroll talked about it. I was covering them at that time. He was so emotional. He barely could play against UCLA in his last home game. Sometimes he's like, and Pete said, you have to talk to seniors about being in that moment because it can get away from them. And it can go that way with freshmen. Sometimes freshmen can play so carefree because they don't know how big the pressure is, and other times they can panic because they're freshmen. Russ Rose, no matter who is on his team, we talked about the pressure last year of that Penn State team, down 2-0 to Texas. But whatever he does in that locker room, however he trains, he gets them to perform at the highest level when it counts the most. That is why he is the best coach in the country, maybe the best coach of all time. He's got 5 rings.
Word.
Word to your mom. I came to drop bombs.
When you talk about the freshman, you talk about the performances. Player of the player of the finals, MVP of the finals, Deja McClendon, freshman.
I mean,
and absolutely deserved it.
Absolutely.
She hit 700, almost 800 in the semis. Then she comes into the finals. She has 16 kills. And you look down the list, and the other freshman, freshman middle blocker, whose name is escaping me right now, but she had seven blocks. Seven stuff blocks.
There are females on that team. There are players on that team.
Yes.
That have never lost a playoff game, that have never lost a playoff match ever. 4 years, four titles.
Katie Slay. Katie Slay, middle blocker. Didn't have a lot of points in offense, but seven stuff blocks for a freshman in the final. Huge. Huge. And yet you talk about the system. It's a system that he's playing over there. And it doesn't matter who you're putting in. He's the Patriots right now. You put somebody in a system, and you get them to buy in, and your team is winning. And even when you think you're not going to win, they come back and win.
I mean, to be able to replace players like Glass and Hodge and just get right back to where you were is – it's you see it in football, how tough it is. It's really something to be admired in any sport. And I think it needs to get more pub. It should be on sports. I mean, they should be talking to – Russ should be a Sunday night conversation.
He should. Absolutely.
I'm not kidding.
No, I
mean, I know this is a football country and hoops and everything. I get it, but – what this guy's done in college volleyball in this day and age, and if you follow college volleyball, you know right now, Seeley and I had this conversation Saturday night at that party. This era, for him to be able to do this right now is incredible because it's tough out there. There's parity. There's so many great athletes, and a lot of great players are playing this game. The level's at the highest it's ever been, and to do it in 4 years in a row is off the charts.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we're going to have Russ Rose in just a few, about 10 minutes, coming up on this program. You're listening to Net Live here on thevolleyballnetwork.com. Kevin Barnett. Chris Geeter-McGee sitting in the home court and sitting in from somewhere in Russia, hanging in, we hope, it's Reed Pretty. Reed.
What's up, guys?
There you go.
Reed.
You still have no furniture in your place? What's going on? Where are you?
No. I'm neck deep in IKEA furniture. And I don't know what's worse, putting together the furniture or having to re-put it together because I get it wrong every time.
Yeah, you're definitely going to need a set of Allen wrenches that are bigger than the ones that come with it. How are your fingertips doing?
They're good. Now, I hear that you're a little under the weather, huh?
A lot under the weather is a better description of it. But I got the sweet...
Getting a little old in your old age.
Yeah, I didn't used to stay out overnight, and now I'm trying to do it at an old age, so it's not working out for me thus far this trip. But when you have to leave at 4 a.m. for a flight at 6 a.m. at the airport, you may as well just forego the hour of undecent sleep. You're hoping you don't miss your alarm and just stay out and have more fun.
Hey.
Watch some lockup on him.
There's no question about it. You do pay for it, but I'll tell you right now, Reed, playing through is what you're supposed to do.
That's right.
Situations. You know you got to get up at 4 or 5. Why miss the rage? Just continue on. Play through. Just like Chevy did in Caddyshack.
This is worse
just
than
having through.
A broken collarbone.
You know what I mean? And then you'll suck on it later. You know, you'll get through it. As Reed said on the email, suck it up, Barney, big show. Any chance for him to just get you one in the ribs, he does. And I love it.
Reader, give us your thoughts. I know you had a couple of thoughts about Hugh McCutchen's interview from back on Friday.
Well, it's interesting. You guys were just actually touching on a little bit of it being talking about the system, you know, being able to plug anybody in. And I like Hugh's word when he used culture, because culture involves people. And at the end of the day, people have to make the plays. And just like you guys said, Penn State made the plays. And sure, there's a good system in place. But the system, I think, when you start talking about you could plug anybody into the system and it works, I think that's too impersonal. I don't think that really captures what's actually going on. There's a culture that's been instilled that people have bought into. But at the end of the day, it's about people and it's about players making plays. And it sounds like that's what's happening at Penn State, that Russ has really implemented a culture that people have bought into, and he's recruiting, like you said last time he was on the show, he recruits the right people, or actually he goes after people who he thinks will be players that will buy in. And I'm just floored by the success consecutively that he's had. It's been awesome.
You know, Reed, to go along with that, what I think happens there is the kids really enjoy themselves too. They love being a part of that tradition and that culture that you're talking about. And it shows when they get into these big moments. You know, I mean, the kids that go there, it's like the old days of Bobby Knight or when you go to play for Dean Smith. You know where you're going. You want to go there, and you're a part, and you know you're a part of something special.
Yeah, it's all about the buy-in, you know, that, you know, the day in, day out stuff. That's what you that's what you end up loving. And, you know, Hugh touched on it definitely. And, you know, it sounds like within the American coaches, there's a tremendous theme that's going on. That's positive. I think I'm not sure that you're hearing these sorts of, discussions around the world, to be honest. And so I think we're fortunate to be in a time where coaches are starting to understand the buy-in. And I guess from a player's perspective, I'm wondering, you know, if there is no culture to buy into, how as a player do you do it? I mean, do you guys have any thoughts on that?
I'm just wondering if after losing 3-2 three times in a row, your team said they needed to come together as a team, or if they jumped on the giant panic button. Because I'm not thinking in Russia there's any thought about team. It's got to be all about X's and O's.
Oh, for sure. X's and O's. It's political. But thanks. Thanks for segueing right into our recent struggles. We actually just lost a match the other night, I'll admit, to my old team. And Loy was resting a back injury. First match he hasn't played all year, and I was resting a little bit of an ab strain. And it was a great opportunity for our second team to get in there, get some confidence going into next week's matches, which are huge, which are the cup finals. We have the semis and finals. And our team was up 22-13 in the third set, tied 1-1 to take a 2-1 lead, and we lost. And then we ended up losing in four. But this team gets it. It's about the big picture, but by no means is there not stress involved here. We're trying to figure it out. But I appreciate that, segueing right into there.
I'm sure you'll come back, Reed. I'm sure you guys will come back strong. And speaking of coming back, the AVP is not dead. Resurrected like a horrible zombie in the middle
dead.
Of the night.
It's dead.
Nope.
I'm a former employee, and I'm letting you know.
Nick Lewin bought it back.
Done.
RJSM Partners bought it back.
Nope.
Claims they're going to run a tour.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know who's going to play on it. Talked to some beach players while I was there. Both of them comments.
I'm taking a hiatus. I'm talking about beach volleyball until 2001.
Worth an update anyway. They bought it. RJSM bought it essentially from themselves.
Done.
And Nick Lewin claims he's going to run it again. We're going to get him here on the show. We're going to talk to him again.
Have a great time.
You're not going to talk.
I'm not talking about beach volleyball till 2011.
Okay. IMG. James Lights.
2011. The high school football. Just doing my job. Working as I could. State championships over the weekend.
All right. Will you answer?
10 people. What's up with the AVP, man? Dude, AVP. I can't believe it happened. It did.
You believe
it?
It
shows.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. I go to the bank every day and look and see if it's coming.
Let me ask you this one. Answer this one question for me.
Yeah.
We've had James Lights. We've had Dave Williams. We've had Albie.
Yes.
Have you heard anything different, significantly different, about how it's going to be structured?
No. Reed, have you?
I haven't. I was thinking the same thing, and it actually kind of runs right into our discussion we just had about volleyball teams and systems and cultures and people. It sounds exactly like they're doing the same thing, but it's just different people involved. And so I guess the hope is that these new people have these other relationships that are going to work.
Yeah, and I'm not saying no's in terms of I don't think Albie – I mean, I think Albie can pull it off. I think Dave Williams can pull it off. I think James Lights and I think these companies can help. I'm just saying right now I don't know anything different. I'm not hearing anything different. We'll see. I think you're hitting it on the head. It's different personalities. Maybe they have different relationships. But nothing's out right now. You know, no one can come forward yet and give us an announcement that really you can build on.
Yeah, I don't know that I've heard anything new at all from anybody. I've heard a lot of conjecture about possible schedules, and I think they'll pull stuff together. I'm not doubting that the fact that there will be some beach volleyball.
Yeah, there's going to be some beach volleyball.
It will exist. The question is, long term, what are they going to change or do differently to make it successful long term, longer than 8 years, let's say?
I think there's going to be Corona Wide Open. With Karch and Berger, and nice job reeling me back in. It's 2010. I'm talking about beach volleyball. I think Albie, the National Beach Volleyball League, is going to have some tournaments. I think USAV is going to have some tournaments, but I don't think the AVP name is alive. I think it's dead.
Interesting. I was talking to St. John Smith over the weekend. He thinks it'll be back. He thinks the value of AVP, that brand, nationwide, is greater than the bad blood that's out there with the sponsors.
I hope he's right.
But it's got to be the right person running.
Yes. I agree with the AVP name. I mean, people do associate beach volleyball with the AVP name, good or bad.
Yeah, it's not beach volleyball. It's the AVP.
Exactly.
It's been the moniker.
I don't know. Not confident about that name right now.
Who could buy it and bring it back? Who would be credible?
Kevin Barnett.
No. No credibility there.
No credibility.
No experience.
There.
I'll answer phones.
I don't know, Barney. That's something that I really would have to think about.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll come back to it.
I mean, I'd have to give you a thought out answer. I can't just blurt out a name. Oh, this guy's credible. He'd be great to run it because I don't know.
Okay.
Cuban. Mark Cuban.
Mark Cuban. It'd be nice to have a heavy hitter like that. I've heard some talk about the NVL.
The Maloofs.
The Maloofs.
There you go.
Jared Elliott about this. Ron DeShea's name has come up. Well connected.
Ron DeShea is a reality show, by the way, and I believe in Ron DeShea. I know Ron DeShea. He's American Idol producer.
Yeah.
He's big time.
Big time.
Love volleyball.
He's got Lee Steinberg on board. NBA. Yep. Super agent. So there's some stuff there, but my comment to him was when I was talking with Jared was, no matter who it is, no matter how deep their pockets are, at some point they want a return. It's got to make money at some point. They're willing to put it up front, eat it for a little bit, but it's got to have a horizon, a window, some sort of belief that it is going to make money eventually. And I just wonder, without significantly changing what's going on, how that's going to happen.
Agree 100%.
Well, I have a question then, Kevin. You were just at the AVCA convention, and we talk a ton about commercial viability. Even though it was women's indoor, what did you see in terms of the products that are out there, the companies that are out there? Did it give you inspiration that there are things that we can bank on?
Here's an important point about the convention. Excuse me.
Wow.
Here's the important point about the convention.
That's a disaster.
That I did not realize until I was there. I thought, okay, women's Final Four, women's convention. Not true. Volleyball convention, women's Final Four. Men's coaches, juniors coaches, high school coaches, all there. Okay, it's all of them together talking about volleyball and doing business, the business of volleyball, learning about volleyball. And I'm encouraged by a couple of things. Number one, it was sold out, the number of companies that were there. I'm encouraged that there are some volleyball-only companies there. I'm also encouraged that some of the big players, like a Quiksilver, is getting involved and is there. I'm encouraged to see the way that different organizations are developing product and changing the design of the product. I guess is the best way to put it. I look at Rocks Volleyball Wear, which I don't know if it's part of Adidas or what, but they are putting forth some pretty innovative designs using the best new jersey-making techniques. You see Smack out there. You see Infinity Shoes out there. You see a lot of companies putting a lot of money, manpower, and effort into the sport, and I think that's a great thing. And it's important to realize that this is the most visible part of volleyball in the United States, women's collegiate, but it is not just for them when you go to this event.
Where's next year's Final Four?
Did they announce that? Fine question. Someone told me where it was, and I cannot remember. San Antonio, I believe, is the answer.
That is a great place, they say, for a Final Four, especially men's basketball. I know people that go to the men's basketball Final Four always love the city of San Antonio.
Okay. Hey, we have a longtime listener to the show, a man who finally came by and introduced himself and has a question about beach. Before we get away
Russ
from
Rose?
It entirely, no.
Oh.
Dan Mickle. He turned me down on the cage match this past week. I told him, I said, where's the cage? And Mickle all of a sudden disappeared from the table where our broadcast was happening. Mickle, what's your question about beach? Tell us.
It wasn't even really a question. It was on Wednesday we were all sitting in on the round table discussion on beach volleyball in USA, and the impression that they were giving was that they want to take the tour out of it, in the sense that USA and these other people want to run the events but not so much make it a tour. And it seemed to be a pretty positive response from everyone in attendance. So, you know, USA is looking hopefully to run all those events, the six or eight events that they mentioned, but not so much have a quote-unquote tour like the AVP. But when we were in the room and they read the press release about the AVP and Nick buying it back, you could just hear groans in the whole audience. Like, I think most people are ready for it to die, you know, and move on.
Okay. Thanks, Dan.
Yep.
He kind of cut out at the end. What do you say? He thinks that people are ready for what?
Ready for it to die and move on.
The name.
The name, but you know what I think? It's less the name. It's the person involved right now. I don't think there's a lot of faith in Nick Lewin, given what he said and did and how he acted throughout the entire thing. He's got no one to blame but himself for that. It was that whole thing that I think is the reason why you hear the groan, not over the AVP
like,
itself. Yeah, not him again. Please, we got to get past this person, not necessarily past the tour itself. And I think you will see that. I agree that it's going to be just an event model rather than a tour model, rather than an end of points championship and all that other stuff. Forget following it. Just build some great individual events. And the thing that's going to be interesting is Olympic qualification, which will have to happen here soon.
I think TV is important to a sport, and there's people, a lot of people on the other side of that coin that disagree with me. Maybe I see it from a TV side, but, you know, I think –
for the sponsors, it is.
For the sponsors, for the players, for the sport. You know, not everyone can go to the Chicago Open. Not everyone can go to the Manhattan Open. You got to be able to see it, whether it's streaming online, whatever it is. I think television viewing is huge, and for some reason we just can never.
You're going to need a certain amount of impressions if you're going to ask people to put in either as one company or as a bunch of companies $5-6 million. You can't do that without numbers. This isn't the late 90s dot-com boom. It's not the middle 2000s boom. You know, people want an ROI on what they're doing. That's investors, that's advertisers all.
In early 2000s, people had bigger budgets. And I was working Super Bowls at the time, and I would go with companies, and those companies no longer even do their parties. I mean, it used to be 75% of their dollars were budgeted for Super Bowls. I mean, they had just millions, and people would throw these extravagant parties, and all your clients would come, and that's decreased because of the economy. Think about beach volleyball. Back then, people had millions, and they could put $1 million in, or 1.5, or 2.1. That turned into, I'll give you 150 grand, I'll give you 200 grand.
Or I'm going to wait and see what happens.
Or I'm going to wait and see. That difference is, you cannot make it up.
No, so we're going to continue to follow that. I think that's a great point. We're going to continue to follow the sport of beach volleyball. But coming up here shortly, we will have the head coach of the Penn State Nittany Lions, the four-time now defending champions, national champions, Russ Rose. He's going to join us here on the Net Live. You're listening to the Net Live, live from the Redondo Beach home court with Kevin Barnett, myself, and Chris McGee, and Reed Pretty all the way from Russia. We're going to be right back. Hang in there. I think.
That's some coffee over there, guys.
Parents, do you know about the USYVL, the United States Youth Volleyball League? Having taught over 100,000 kids ages 7 to 15 the sport of volleyball, the league's proven techniques, super fun approach, and self-esteem lifting methods are unmatched. Truly, volleyball starts here. For more information about the league and programs in your area, visit usyvl.org. That's usyvl.org.
Hey, Reed.
Yeah, Dad?
Hey, if I wanted to call in and talk to you guys, what would I have to do?
Well, first you'd have to have something meaningful to say.
I can do that.
And then you want to probably scale that down to about 20 seconds.
Done.
And then you want to pick up the phone and dial 347-677-1525.
So I can call 347-677-1525 and say, Reed Pretty, you're my favorite volleyball player ever.
Now, Dan, when you say that, are you making fun of me? Or, is the joke on me? I don't get it.
Get off the bench. Suck yourself in. Pick up the phone and call.
The Net Live will not be held responsible for opinions and ideas expressed by others.
breaking news on thevolleyballnetwork.com.
I wish I could move my bed up here. Just lay in bed to the show. I'd feel better.
I like that.
You are such a baby.
Isn't that live on thevolleyballnetwork.com? I mean, it's not like I'm in Russia or something. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate you being here. We're wrapping up the AVCA convention. Talked a little bit about Beach, even though Geeter didn't want to. And
you both broke me down.
Yeah. Well, we just came at you from different angles till we fired you up.
I am not talking about it from here on out till 2011.
Well, we have our year-end NEDI Awards.
I'll be talking about it next week. Let me take that back.
So you're going to have to address
it. I'm going to take January off.
Reed, I don't know if you heard the beginning of the program. We're going to push that off to next week. So
right.
We got a caller here.
Can't wait for you guys to fight off air about that.
A guy that wanted to take your seat, Geeter.
Yeah, he wants to so badly.
If he lived here, he'd be in here like trying to push you off the mic. He'd be fighting at the table with you.
Well, you and Reed don't put me on the homepage. You don't put me in the show. It's the Net Live with Willie and Barney, and so I'm not even a part of the show anyway. I mean, who?
Hey, it's in the works, huh? We got,
who are
we
kidding?
Your boy Roche in the mix.
That's right.
It's gonna get taken care of.
We had DJ Roche here last week for a static-filled exploratory mission.
He will be here in January.
January 10th.
Guaranteed.
January 10th with his music, with his board, ready to go, fired up.
If the good Lord came down and said, Brandon, you could either be on the Net Live every Monday or coach Division I volleyball like you do, he would give it all up to be on this show every Monday.
True that. Brandon, respond, please.
You know, that hurts. From the bottom of my heart, you know, I was pumping Geeter's name. I'm not even on the poster. Geeter's on the poster. I'm like that blank space between Reed and Geeter.
Hey, we could Photoshop Geeter. Hey, point.
Brandon, if this makes you feel better, you're a much bigger part of the show than Dan Madden is. That guy disappeared. How was the poster? I forgot to ask about that. How did that go over? Did we get heckled?
Poster looked good. I thought it was great, you know. Reed's wearing glasses that, they're like a face shield on him.
They're like, whoa, Barney Geeter and that guy from the MMA.
Actually, yeah, when I look at Reed, I'm thinking like somebody's going to come up to a bar here in L.A. and say, come with me if you want to live. And here comes Reed with a sawed-off shotgun coming after me. Doesn't care.
It's weird.
He's a Terminator.
Brandon, did you party as hard as Barnett?
You know, we had a good time. Here's my backstory on Barnett is about halfway through the trip, Barnett just stopped referring to me, you know, as Brandon or Rose, as, you know, I was called in college. He just started calling me E from Entourage, and I was his handler. Barnett does not like to introduce himself. He likes for people to introduce him. And so I would have to go up to somebody and be like, hey, you know, this is Kevin. You know, two-time Olympian. He's, hosting the Net Live. And he was good to go. But when he had to go and introduce himself, it was kind of like pouting. He shuffled his feet over and then finally kind of got around to it.
Brandon, I'm going to tell you something. This is the best 2 minutes you've ever given me because I got to tell you right now, that's good stuff. That is value. And looking at Barnett right now, you're telling the truth.
Thanks a lot.
No, it's the dead truth. You know, the other part was we go to these banquets, and they're great banquets, but, honestly, me and Higa are there for the unintentional comedy purposes because if Barnett's involved, there's something that's going to be awkward. And right off the bat for the All-American Banquet, Misty May and Barnett get introduced, and Misty does her thing where she's, like, dancing. And Barnett is just, like, standing there, and I'm just like, oh, my goodness, this is not good.
Oh, my God, prom all over again.
I'm a coat rack.
It was like prom all up again for Barnett. Oh, my God, my date is dancing, and I have no idea what to do because I have no moves.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I am in trouble. I am extremely nervous and freaking out. Yeah.
It was awesome. No, it was a great weekend, and I thought the show went well the other day.
It did. It was good. We're going to get back to it in just a moment. Thanks for calling.
It would be fun if Brandon lived here, actually.
Yeah. It would be interesting, wouldn't it? It's true. Everything you said about Misty May is true. I told Misty, I said, Misty, listen, I'll spin you and I'll dip you. It'll be awesome. Okay. And then we get up.
And you
panic?
And
Misty goes full like cha-cha or merengue
or
something.
She and I.
I have no moves to begin with. And then Misty's going off next to me and I'm a coat rack.
She and I used to have these things planned where she would run out of the tunnel, the AVPs, and we would do something. And there were times where you just had to know to let her go because she was already dominant and
try and get yourself out of the frame.
How many times can you do the worm? I'm sick of it. Is the king on yet?
He's here.
The king is here?
We have him.
So happy.
Hit it. This man. He really needs no introduction to anyone who's associated with volleyball over the last few years.
He has a ring for each finger, Barnett.
I just want to know from the question number one is going to be.
He's bathing in rings.
On your thumb. Is it on the thumb?
Is it on the thumb yet, Coach?
Coach, those are best rates.
No, I'm not thinking. I don't wear any of them.
Oh, Coach, put them away in a trophy case and just look at them every day. That's what I would do. I would get up and I would look at myself every day and say, I am really good. Because, Coach, congratulations. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Has it sunk in yet that you've won 4 national championships in a row?
Well, I mean, it's great to talk to you guys. It's kind of surreal, as people would say, that the team that we had this year might not have been the team at the beginning of the year where we would have really thought that this could happen. But, you know, you go in the gym every day and you work hard. And as the season progressed, we had some flashes of playing real well, and then we had some matches where we were exposed, and then the tournament came along and we played well, and then we got to the last weekend and we played very well.
Coach, as a very mediocre club coach myself, I want to ask you, because you are the king, October 9th you guys lose to Purdue in Indiana. What was the feeling around the program at that time? Was it a panic, or for you was it, this is part of the process, ladies, we're going to take this and go from here and get better?
Well, I think I think there was an earlier moment when we beat Florida, you know, with 7,000 people at Florida, and then the next night with a couple hundred people watching, we got schooled a little bit by Stanford. So I think we had to pick ourselves up after that, because it was part, we didn't compete like we normally compete, and they were very good. So we'd won the first 2 games against Purdue, and it was shown in the tournament. Had Jackie Hart not gotten hurt, they may have been able to beat Texas at Texas. So Purdue was very good, and you know, we didn't compete like we wanted to, but they competed well, and you know, there might have been a little hangover the next day against Indiana, and we never really got into our game. But Indiana had a nice team, and Ashley Benson is a terrific player. So, you know, we had a lot of work to do after that weekend, and I changed around the lineup a little bit. I took a kid out who I was hoping to, I was going to redshirt Ariel Scott, but, you know, I thought at that point in time I'd seen about enough. And, you get hot at the right time, and, you know, I thought we played great volleyball when we got to 20 points in the third game against Cal.
Yeah.
I thought that was the best we played all year, where we knew where they were going to hit. They still hit good balls, and everybody made great defensive plays.
Coach, get back to the semifinal for me, if you would, for just a second. Against Texas, you come out and bury them 3-0. Coming out of that match, did you think that was good for your team to win that easily, or would you like to have seen more of a fight?
No, I mean, in coaching, you want to just win and move on to the next match. You know, you don't need anything glamorous. You know, it's not like watching you guys dance with Misty. You know what I'm saying? When you're outclassed, man, you just go. You just want to go sit down and watch the next match. So, you know, I thought in our case, you know, we kind of came out real strong against Texas, and you know, the way they started with Fawcett in the back row, we were up 10-1 in the first game, and I think that kind of carried over. And in the third game, it was certainly a much closer a match. But you know, you don't. You know, it's like people say, how come you don't play your bench a little bit more? Because in 25 point rally games, the games end real fast, and so does the match. So, you know, I think the goal is to, you know, for players, they've got 4 days a week of practice and 2 days a week of games. So you have twice as much time to prove that you should be playing.
Coach, this is Geeter. You're listening to Net Live. Russ Rose, 4-time national champion in a row, 5-time overall, joining us on the Net Live. You know, people are a lot talking about, obviously, Deja and Blair, but what about the play of Kristen Carpenter, your sophomore setter? When I watched the semifinal match, I thought, there's a kid who's playing at a high level, waited her chance. Here she is in the biggest moment playing her best volleyball.
Yeah, I mean, she's my backup libero. I recruited her as a libero, and yet she's our hardest hitter. You know, at the beginning of the year, I said to her, okay, you can hit in warm-ups, but then you're in the back row. And then when it was time to make a move, we put her at center. And, you know, I think she's gotten a lot better. You know, she's small. But as you guys know, there's a lot of big kids that aren't good blockers. So it would be foolish to just think because someone's small, they can't play or can't block. So she had a great block against this weekend. She had a one-on-one block with Fawcett, and then she had a great block against Murray at the end of the second game. So it's a, you know, it's how hard you're going to fight, and she's an incredibly tough kid, and she's our best doubles player. You know, I'm thinking when she's done, if she wants to go play on the beach, it'll come out of nowhere. Somebody will say, "God, this kid's unbelievable," and it's yeah. There's no question about it. That's really her best skill, doubles.
Coach, I want to ask you a question I asked a couple other great coaches while I was there watching the matches, the semis and finals, and that is, during the finals, you look around some terrific athletes out there, Tara Murray, Blair Brown, great athletes out there. Why is it that only one player out there can hit an honestly tough, really strong jump serve, your libero, Alyssa Derrico? Why can't more athletic women crush from the service line in the same way you've seen the men's game develop?
Well, I mean, I think they can. We had Megan Hodge and Nicole Fawcett, and both of them could hit it in the 60s, but they couldn't hit it in the court with the same regularity. And, it might just be internationally they have more time to practice, and therefore they really get the sequence down. And, you know, at least in the college environment where you have X amount of time to practice and you really have to cut that in half because so many of the kids have classes, at least at our school, at different times, that you really can't predict, do we have ample time to do it? I mean, we have other kids that could hit it. I've got three or four kids. Carpenter's got a really hard, she's got our hardest jump serve. But, you know, there's just times where I think there's certain number of points that you can give away. And if you have everybody jump serving, you might be giving away too many of them, and that's just not even taking into account the fact that the other team is going to be able to side out naturally.
Coach, one of the comments to me from a high-level coach there was that if you won this year, that meant everyone else was not doing their job. What do you think you're doing better than anyone else out there in the college game?
Well, I wouldn't think I'm doing anything any different. Maybe I have a little better job security so I can get after the kids a little more directly than other people. Maybe everybody else has to reason with them, and I can cut to the chase a little faster. But, no, I don't think so. I mean, I wouldn't think that's an accurate statement. We're no different than anybody else. Everybody's training. Different people are teaching different things, and you know, I want kids to play hard. That's what I want. So, you know, I mean, as an example, if I look at Cal, and we've played Cal for 4 years in a row now, and you know, they're doing a terrific job in every part of the program. They transformed their game from last year. You know, so now they were running a much faster offense. They were swing blocking. They were kind of doing more of what people refer to as the gold medal squared style of volleyball. So, I mean, that was a transformation, and you know, from last year. Now, for us, we only see them, you know, the last couple of years, we see them every December. So other people might know a lot more about some other teams. But, you know, we don't change that often. You know, I'm not on the cutting edge of what's going on out there. I got my own set of ideas for women's college volleyball. So the kids that come to Penn State, we're doing it this way. These are the things we're working with. And if they're fortunate to go to the national team, then Karch and Hugh and their staff can reteach kids the things they want to fine-tune them to do. You know, I look at it as this is a level of play. College women's volleyball in the United States is a certain level of play.
Russ, sometimes I think what the most amazing thing about what you guys have done, winning four national championships in a row, you'll see it in men's basketball at the Final Four or football in the BCS, getting whether it's a freshman to play their best at the biggest moment or a senior who knows the end is coming. How are you able to get these kids to play so free and play their best in the biggest moments? Is it something that you guys talk about?
Well, I don't know if we talk about it, but I mean – what I've always felt, I don't know, we've been to maybe 9 Final Fours, I guess, is that we're always going to be the loosest team there. We may not be the best team there. I think the last 3 years we were the best team in the Final Four. And people's assumption would be that had we not won the matches over the last 3 years that we would have somehow underachieved, and you know, then I'd be the buffoon of the decade. So I kind of just look at it as, you know, we're going to be loose there. The kids need to have fun. You know, and you know, we got some kids that have big smiles and they love to play and they don't feel stressed even when I'm chewing on them. And, you know, and that's great.
Coach, what's out there to stop you from continuing this win streak?
Oh, I don't, you know, we don't even look at streaks like that. I'm not, that's not how I'm wired. Every year's a new team, and every year you're competing with people, and you know, you look at different matchups. So, you know, I don't think our talent was the best talent this year in college volleyball. We had a couple of kids that were terrific players, and we peaked at the right time. And as everybody, you know, wanted to point out, we had a favorable draw in the NCAA tournament, as well as a couple of upsets in our bracket that made it appear that it was easier. But, you know, I think there's been 30 NCAA championships, and we never hosted one before 1997. So, you know, we've been sent to Nebraska more times than we've hosted. So, you know, it's the tournaments are a strange thing. You know, you got to beat the teams that you have to beat. So not knowing what will happen next year, other than that we know we won't be hosting a regional next year, so we'll have to win on the road. But 2 years ago we went to Florida and beat Cal to get to the Final Four. So, you know, we'll get some new kids coming in. We're graduating five players that have made great impacts in the program. You know, DeRico is, I think, an under-recognized player for a kid that was the libero on a team that won 3 national championships and was a key defensive player on her freshman year. You know, Blair Brown, who I think is in Switzerland today. She's had a number of job offers. I'm not sure if she's going to play or just going to visit her boyfriend in Switzerland. And Ariel Wilson, who also has had a lot of contract offers. So those kids are going to move on. Kathy Quillico is a great defensive player for us. And Jess Ulrich is maybe one of our hardest workers on a day-to-day basis. And Fatima Balza, who came in last year and played middle for most of this year. And I was kind of taking my time with getting Katie Slay in the action because I didn't want everybody to know what was going on. So on certain weekends I would play one, and on another weekend I would play the other one. And the first 2 weekends of the NCAA, I split who played which match. So, you know, you have to kind of develop the players as well as try and keep the focus of this year's team in mind.
Coach, I've said it on this show. I really felt that last year's national championship game was so great for women's volleyball. I thought it was the best match that I'd ever seen. You guys were down 0-2. And then this year, you have a team that maybe no one expects mid-year to win the national championship, and you do. They're all special, but where does this one rank? Was this one was just maybe a little sweeter just because no one expected it, or are they all great?
Well, I mean, they're all special, but there's no question that this one has a real unique taste to it because of the, you know, where we were, where we found ourselves a couple of times. You know, at the second week, after the third week of the Big Ten season, we were 3-3 and tied for 7th. So, you know, the kids had, and you had to come to practice on Sunday, and you had to come back to school on Monday. And, you know, there's a lot of challenges. They lost more matches than the previous 3 years had lost collectively. But as I kept telling the team, they lost because the other teams were good. It wasn't just because they were bad. The other teams were good. And, you know, I'm not one of those guys when we lose that I look around and I have an excuse. You know, if we lose, I didn't do as good a job as I needed to do, and the other team played better than my kids did. So this was very special, and I know the players were celebrating nice and hard, and, you know, and when we get back to practice, and who knows when that'll be. I never establish a starting date for the spring semester when we start. Eventually the girls come to me and say they want to get back in the gym. So I need a lot of time off, and so do they.
Hey, Coach, how much would it cost for you to be my life coach?
Your life coach? You'd be in a lot of trouble. You'd be in a lot of trouble. If I was somebody's life coach, there'd be some trouble. It's between the language and the cigar smoke, I don't know if there's anything healthy about what I could offer you.
Coach, will I see you in Vegas this year?
I'll be in Vegas a couple of times this year. whether I'll see you with the teams, yeah, I'll be
buy you a drink, sir.
That's terrific. I look forward to it.
Coach, I've got one more question before we let you go, and that was something you just mentioned about letting the girls decide when they would start back in the gym again. And we had Hugh McCutcheon on here last week talking about letting go of some of the power and not caring how people warm up as long as we arrive at the same point and letting go of some of the control that a lot of other coaches seek. Talk about that idea within your program.
Well, I mean, I think Hugh's got it pegged, you know. I mean, not just the success that he had as the coach of the men when they won their gold medal, but the success he's having with the women's team is, you know, and he's got to transform himself as well because it's a totally different scenario coaching the men and then coaching the women, especially with him and Karch having to come in and really learn the women's game. So, you know, Paula Weishoff on the staff knew more about international women's volleyball than those guys, and Les Hughes' wife, Wizzy, was giving him cues about everything. So I think, you know, I think too many times that, you know, coaches are spending too much time controlling the lives of their players, and we need to give them some time, and when they're ready, they'll come to you, and you know, then you have a better chance of actually having their attention. If you throw a calendar at them and say, we need to do this, this, and this, there's always going to be kids fighting it.
Russ Rose is the head coach of the Penn State Nittany Lions, who took home his fourth national championship in a row this past weekend. Russ, thank you so much for spending time with us here on the Net Live.
Hey, my pleasure, guys. You guys provide a great service.
Thanks, Coach.
Thanks, Coach.
Thanks. Take care.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right, Russ Rose.
Russ Rose.
I'll tell you what, you want some information on coaching. That's it right there.
I like the cigars and swearing comments. It's pretty funny.
Love it.
He's got a great crew of coaches, too, that he hangs with, you know, Ritsu Dehara, tight with. And he's just kind of like the godfather now, isn't he? I mean, you get four rings.
With the cigar, I bet.
Yeah, the cigar.
Him sitting behind a desk. Other coaches are coming up asking for favors.
Mr. Rose, will you schedule us? He looked different when they won this one, though. That little, you
it
know what I mean?
It still took him 15 seconds to crack a smile.
Yeah, but still, man, he even said right here on this show, I mean, it was this one had a little extra sweetness to it because of how far they came.
Yeah.
All of our voices are crushed, by the way.
Goodness, you guys are struggling today.
Sorry we're not just holed up there in Siberia, Reed. I mean,
I don't have a team of four people that constantly work to make sure I'm okay.
Reed. Yeah, it's not like getting massages every day.
Well, you should. I mean, how about some tea or something or get some caffeine going?
We just had Russ on the show. Remember the last time he was on the show, I was just a guest. You guys had me on right before him. He was on the line, and I picked Texas 15-13 in the fifth and got off the phone. Thank God.
I'm surprised you still talked. You probably didn't remember.
He has no idea who I am. Yeah. But I'm going to go up to him in Vegas.
Bring a cigar.
He has no idea who I am.
All right, listen to it live here on thevolleyballnetwork.com. We still have the College Volleyball Weekly upcoming, the AVCA summary. We've got Dave Reed, Holly McPeak, going to chat about the end of the women's season. And we're going to get on. That AVCA College Volleyball Weekly is going to continue. It's going to go on with the men. Coming up right after Christmas time as they get started. We'll be right back here on the Net Live. Thanks for tuning in. See you on the other side.
Hate the gym? Well, we do too. CrossFit South Bay is an elite strength and conditioning facility with a no-gimmick approach to fitness. The CrossFit program will have you running, jumping, lifting, climbing, and moving in dynamic and powerful ways. There are no machines, ellipticals, TVs, or mirrors. We train everyone from professional and collegiate athletes to soccer moms and retired teachers. With an average class size of 10, you get personal coaching and training. We sweat together, get fit together, and have a darn good time doing it. From beginners to weekend warriors to professional athletes, CrossFit South Bay is for anyone wanting to be in the best shape of their life. Visit us online at www.crossfitsouthbay.com and mention the Net Live for your 15% discount on any of our membership packages.
Welcome back in the Net Live on the volleyballnetwork.com. We appreciate you being here. If you're a new listener, and I hope you are after this past weekend, it's the first chance you're getting to check us out live or on iTunes. Make sure you friend us on Facebook. We've got stuff going there all week long. We ask questions. We have topics. There's debate. There's a chance for you to weigh in on a lot of the issues that are out there in the sport of volleyball. We also have email for the show, thenetlive@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Some people have sent us some great letters over the past few months, stuff that has made the show, stuff, programs, and topics that we've had on. So please do email us, thenetlive@gmail.com.
We have a goal. That's to blow this show up in 2011. We've gained a lot more momentum. We have a lot more listeners live. We have a great following that have been with us since the beginning. And I feel like if we can just keep this momentum going and people keep spreading the word, the sport of volleyball can continue to grow as well as this show.
Here's one of the ideas out there. We want to bring the show on the road game day style.
Man,
we
want
to go
to
some events. I've talked to some coaches about it already over the weekend. But if you're a coach out there, you listen to our show, you enjoy our show, you enjoyed my emceeing, or maybe you didn't, and you want to bring me in and try and embarrass me with someone dancing next to me, bring us in, thenetlive@gmail.com. Email us and let us know. We'll bring the minivan with a sticker on it, maybe a magnet, because we can't wrap a full bus game day style. But we'll come out. It's something that can be talked about. Geeter, you've got time.
I do have time. You're awful.
I'll answer phones, too. It'd be great.
It would be great. I really feel like the show can go to some new heights in 2011. And, you know, as long as we get Jay Roche in here, getting the music going, and Reed stays in Siberia, we're going
to
be good.
Hey, I want to add a quick note before we get to college.
So I can fund the show? Is that what you're saying?
That's right. Yeah, keep making that money, man.
Keep making that money, buddy.
Because we're going to start paying myself and Geeter with your money. Hey, I wanted to get a quick note out there about Team Paul Mitchell, the United States club team that went over and played in Doha, Qatar, and played in the club championships.
We played at Columbia back in 95 with yours truly.
You did.
Flowing the sauce.
Nice.
East Saul on the left.
Well, they dug up Eric Seifert from somewhere. Oh, Chris Seifert, pardon me, the setter. They had Casey Boom Patterson out there.
Where did this go?
This was this past week.
Seif went?
Seif went.
By the way, Seif is... Seif's a great dude. That's a funny
guy
right there.
Dude. Yeah. So they went out and played. They did go 0-for, but competed against some of the best club teams in the world.
They went 0-for.
I didn't expect them to win.
They won every rage at night. I guarantee you that.
I wonder how that goes.
Paul Mitchell has 43 straight rage national championships.
I wonder how that happens. But I just want to get a quick shout out to them. And the reason was the question came up, why are we participating in this? Why are we sending a team? Why on earth is USA Volleyball
Net Live, who am I speaking with?
Hey, you're still on here. Mute yourself.
Yeah, Reed, I know you don't want everyone to know that you're answering phones, but let's not do it live.
Everyone wants to know, why are we sending this team these players? I mean, you're digging people up from sales jobs to go out here and do this. The reason was there was guaranteed prize money. It was all paid for. There's the answer. Who wouldn't go for guaranteed prize money and a free trip? So lots of guys definitely, once they heard that, tried to clamor onto the squad, but they put together a fun squad, went over, and had Gary Sato as the head coach. So a lot of fun had by all over there.
That's really cool.
Just shows you we need to have a club system. We can actually have a club,
absolutely,
team, a league, and send somebody over and be a part of these world events. But volleyball club-wise is a huge deal worldwide. All right, we've got new music. Not sure which one should we go on here. I wanted We Are. Maybe this one will work. Oh, you can't play anything else. But some sort of Penn State music.
By the way, Jay wanted everyone to know that he's the only one picked Penn State when he was in the studio last week.
In association with the AVCA, the Net Live is proud to present the College Volleyball Weekly, the best each week of what's out there in the volleyball world. And certainly, there's no question, Penn State was the best out there in the world of volleyball.
You have a little love to Cal, though. I mean, this is a tremendous season for them. Winning the Pac-10, getting to the national championship game, Coach Feller, Carly Lloyd, clear the year.
You got to give them some love.
You have to give Cal love.
Maybe they didn't
play their best, obviously, in the national championship game, but, you know.
I would like to have seen a better match.
If they win, it's a totally different match.
It's a totally different match.
But I love that Cal program, and I think that Rich has done an incredible job. Needs to be noted.
Well, we have back for the final time to talk about women's in 2010. Our experts, Dave Reed and Holly McPeak, Dave Reed of ESPN and Holly McPeak of broadcasting and volleyball fame. Welcome, both of you, again.
Hey, thanks for having us back.
Guys, first, your thoughts on the semifinal. Dave, what'd you think?
You know, I really couldn't believe how well Penn State played in the semifinal against Texas. I thought that was one of the most dominating performances I've seen in a long time. And, you know, part of it was Penn State. The other part was I don't think Texas played nearly as well as they thought they were going to. But, you know, in the end, you know, the size of Penn State was just too much for Texas to overcome.
Holly, give us your thoughts on the other side of the semifinal. Cal just going away, crushing SC.
Well, interesting, after USC beat Cal twice during the regular season, we knew it was going to be tough to beat them a third time. But Cal just took control. They served better, better ball control. You know, they took advantage of their faster offense. And Tara Murray and Adrian Guillen, the freshman outside hitter, just went off against USC. And unfortunately for USC, Fallon Fanoimoana, who's had a fantastic year, I think she was the MVP of her region, just struggled in that match.
David Skeeter, put into perspective, in your opinion, what this Penn State title means. Four in a row, when you look at all other sports, winning four national championships, I don't care what the sport, but women's volleyball, when it's being played at the best level over this past decade, to win four in a row, what does it mean?
You know, that's just a testament to the program that Russ has built at Penn State. You know, some people don't give him enough credit. You know, he was coach of the year when he had some just amazing teams, but I think this year was probably one of his best coaching years ever. And he's just building on what they have. They've established the tradition that the USC's, the Stanford's, the UCLA's, the Nebraska's have had, and taken it one step farther. And it's really amazing. And then when you look at what they have coming back next year, you're already looking ahead going, who's going to stop them?
Holly, I wanted to get your opinion on the end of set number two in the final. Tara Murray with a swing to possibly win it, halves it into the middle blocker, and then with an opportunity to keep her team in that set, tips it over the block rather than taking a swing. It seems to me that if you're that player, if you're in that position on that team, you have to go down swinging.
Well, you know, in Tara Murray's defense, she was playing some great ball. She was getting, a huge percentage of the sets. Cal was out of system, and Penn State is a huge team. They were camping on her. I don't know if you saw on a lot of the replays, they were already released out to her. And, you know, 6-6 slay in the middle, that's a tough call. And I think she was just trying to, you know, find a way to get a kill. And I thought she played pretty well. She didn't play her best. But it was because Cal was out of system. And when Cal's out of system, obviously, we haven't seen that too often, but that's not their best volleyball.
Carly Lloyd, Holly, was named National Player of the Year. And, Dave, you can weigh on this after Holly as well. You know, there's always going to be an argument who should win it. Alex Kleiman, I believe, hit 392 on the year, so there's definitely always a case for her. But just talk about those two players and ultimately Carly winning the award.
Well, interesting. You know, Alex Kleiman definitely had, in terms of numbers, the best season of her career. Came back, really committed herself in the off season. Came back strong. Said she felt the best she's ever felt, put up some great numbers, but her team didn't go where it could and should have. On the other side, Carly Lloyd has taken this program that, you know, had never been to a Final Four and consistently put them at an elite level, and now their, you know, first title game. So what Carly Lloyd did for her team this year was really special. Alex Kleiman, as an individual, put up some great numbers, is a great player, never won a title, unfortunately, for her. So it's hard to say. I guess you say who's the most valuable player to a program this year, and that was probably Carly Lloyd. And unfortunately, she didn't have her best final match.
David, I would totally agree with everything that Holly just said. I think Carly meant more to her team than any other player in the country this year. And she really did carry the program. You know, she took them to the Final Four as a freshman. She got them back into the championship match as a senior. And I think her performance over her 4 years elevated Cal to the point now that they're going to be a contender every year. And, you know, you got to survive the Pac-10. And if you can finish in the top two or three of the Pac-10, you are a threat to win the national championship every year.
Dave, there were a lot of groans and surprise when Deja McClendon was named MVP of the tournament as a freshman. Talk a little bit about what Russ Rose is doing right, that he's able to get such
terrific production out of freshmen, whether it be McClendon or Slay.
Well, I think when you talk to him, he hit it just right. Is, you know, he doesn't work them in too fast unless it's completely necessary. When they lost Darcy Dorton in the spring, you know, I think it was evident already that early that somebody was going to have to play on the outside in their first year. And at that point, Deja was probably a little bit closer to being ready than Ariel Scott was. And, you know, the plan all along was to redshirt Ariel. But they got to the midpoint of the season, and, you know, especially after the weekend in Indiana when they lost to Purdue and then Indiana, I think Russ knew at that point he had to do something just to get the program to where he wanted it to be. And, you know, that's when they really took off. But what the Penn State has, and, you know, a lot of the top programs, they're playing against great players every day in practice. And, you know, the last couple of years, you know, I don't think anybody could have played against a better team than what Penn State had. So these players are ready by the time they get their chance. And, you know, Ariel Scott took advantage of it. Katie Slay took advantage of it. And Deja, obviously, you know, she was outstanding, especially in the match against Texas. When she hit 733, she had 11 kills on 15 swings. You know, and Texas is a good team. And I mean, that's amazing.
Holly, give us your final thoughts on the season that was Women's Volleyball 2010.
Well, I haven't had a chance to talk about Penn State, but I was blown away by them. First of all, the setter, Carpenter, nobody's given her any love yet. That girl came in, and she ran a great offense. I thought she was super impressive, made some good decisions, knew what rotations to take advantage of Cal when Kat Brown was playing defense. I mean, she was on it and delivered a great ball. I know she didn't have any accolades as a setter, but I was really impressed with her performance. Deja McClendon, freshman, wow, what an athlete. I mean, you could tell by the smile on her face the entire time. She's playing loose, no pressure on her, and it showed. She played phenomenal. I was so impressed, and Blair Brown just super steady, great from the back row, dug some great balls, put some great balls away out of the back row. I was just so impressed by Penn State coming through and winning a fourth title. Never thought it would happen in a million years, you know, losing the players they did. And that's a credit to Russ Rose and the program that he's created there. He's done a great job.
Well, we want to give credit to both you, Dave Reed, and Holly McPeak for joining us every week here on the show and adding to our program and our knowledge of Division I women's volleyball. Thank you so much for the entire season, not just your final reports.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thanks for having us. It's been a real pleasure.
Well, hopefully we'll get you back next year. We're going to move on into men's here pretty soon, but that's been the College Volleyball Weekly. Thank you to both of you.
Bye, guys. Thank you.
See ya.
All right. Happy holidays. Bye.
Take care.
All right. So
the next time we talk to Holly, she's going to be with child.
She'll be my mom.
She'll be a mom.
She'll be telling the kids to be quiet while she's on the show.
To Holly McPeak. Dave and Holly added value, and we appreciate them and what they've done for the show the last 4 months.
The AVCA and the Net Live are proud to bring you College Volleyball Weekly every week. They earned it. They earned us here in this one.
Do you think Jay is just running around his living room right now? Jumping up and down, listening to this song.
I just pictured Jay in a Penn State shirt and his
just
underwear.
Going, you know what? I killed it on that show last week.
I love it. So that'll do it for College Volleyball Weekly for 2010. We're going to start back anew in 2011 with the men's game. So don't think that College Volleyball Weekly has gone away, and don't think that volleyball has ended just because the women's NCAA season is over. We're coming back with NCAA men. Talk about my alma mater, Pepperdine, a lot.
LC Northridge, baby, the Yale, you know, the MPSF.
I think it was six teams or seven teams got first place votes on the men's side. It's going to be an interesting season. Very interesting.
Oh, UCI is good. SC good. Penn State. The Ridge.
Can't count UCLA out ever. So it'll be good. You know, I thought back. I have one final point about the women before we move on, and that was Texas versus Penn State came down to one swing for me on each side. You had a ball popped up 10 feet off the net, about 5 feet inbounds, on the Texas side. Had to go over. And on the outside, you have Julianne Fawcett, close step to it, try and tip it, it goes in the net. I think it was her. If it wasn't, I'm sorry. Tip it into the net. On the other side, very similar play. Ball comes up at 10 feet, it's kind of out by the sideline. Deja McClendon's out there, a freshman. She takes a big close step, gets up and takes a whack at the ball, goes down for a kill.
I remember that play.
That's the match for me. That's the mentality of those teams inside of one play. I think Penn State, this is a home game for them. They go to the Final Four, doesn't matter where it is. You put up that Final Four banner, that's a home game. They feel comfortable. And then you went to the final, and I said it before, I'll say it again, I think it was Tara Murray on the outside. She had a chance for set number two and did not get after it with the same way, the same vigor that she has all season. And I think that is why her team went down. Not just that play, obviously, it's the whole team, but that mentality right there. I'm a little bit nervous. I don't want to take it. Instead of getting up and doing what you've been doing in practice every single day and through this entire tournament.
You play golf, Barney?
No.
Drive for show, putt for dough?
There you go.
Everyone can do the big things. Penn State, baby. Putting in golf is all the pressure, dead silence. You got to take 10 minutes, read the greens. The biggest moment, you got to be the biggest player. And Penn State, in the biggest moment, for 4 years in a row, every single time, whether they're down 0-2 or up 2-0, they close it out. They make the plays.
They have been the biggest player collectively.
Absolutely.
As a group, like the Borg. They just come in and, it's unstoppable.
Russ Rose is bathing in rings.
Jumping around on the bed.
Jumping around.
Rolling on them. That must hurt.
Just like Reed is doing different right now bills. In Siberia.
Well, he has fewer $100 bills because he's bankrolling this show. It's our sugar daddy.
So good to have a sugar daddy. It's amazing that we cut him off every time he talks to him. I mean, we got to start showing him a little more respect because he might just cut the cord one time and we'll have no show.
Oh, my God. What are
oh,
we
my
gonna
God.
Do?
What are we going to do?
We're going to move in up here together.
Boy, when he blasted you on that email this morning, you just step up, Barney, big show. Oh, man, did I love that.
It's a chapter out of your own book right there, a little pep talk.
Did you like my pep talk last week?
Of course I did. Are you kidding me? And we should start every show off like that.
When we get Jay Roche,
energy drinks and a pep talk, and we're good to go.
We get Jay Roche in here. He knows the tunes to really get me going. We
could get you going.
Yeah.
Does it change year to year? Is it kind of? Are you into the pop stuff? Or
he knows the ones that I can go with, but the course, the bread and butter is Under Pressure, David Bowie, Queen. Those are kind of when it would go to a third set. In an AVP final, that was the song they would play, and I would just rant for 4 minutes.
What about Vanilla Ice? Better?
I mean, you can YouTube those babies. Vanilla Ice? No, we don't. That version doesn't count to me.
No.
No.
No good.
Not.
You want to shave
David
your eyebrows?
Bowie Queen version is so legit.
All right, Gita. This may force you to talk beach again, but we have another question. We have Doug from Nebraska about growing the sport. Doug, tell us.
Talk to me, Doug. Give me the answer.
Yeah. Hey, how y'all doing? Hey. I'm a huge volleyball fan for about the last 15 years. I've always been a big Nebraska football fan, but went to my first volleyball match, the 94 regional final against Penn State, and have been hooked ever since. Fantastic sport. But I watch regional finals, say, like in Seattle, and there's empty seats there, and there's like a billion people there compared to Nebraska. And still they can't fill up a 7,000-seat arena. I'm not picking on Seattle, but, what can we do as fans to expose more people to this sport, which I think is one of the greatest spectator sports that exists right now. And I'll hang up and listen to your answer. Thanks, guys. You guys
thank
are doing
you,
a great job.
Thank you, Doug. So essentially the question is, why aren't there more people like me, Doug?
Yeah.
I
why is there more people like Doug?
That's what I mean.
Doug.
Why aren't there more people like Doug? I don't know. What is the answer? The answer is bring your friends. It's my initial thought. Bring your friends. Expose them to what's happening.
What about marketing?
Hold a party. Yeah, marketing is obviously an answer. And we're going to have, early in January, I think on January 4th, we've got to work out the details, but we're going to have Terry Pettit from Nebraska, the man credited with building the program from the ground up. From making it what it is today. Now, there have been a lot of people involved, but this was the first man to really bring it up. We're going to have him on to talk about some of those topics, building the sport, continuing the sport forward, bringing new fans into the sport. And I'm more interested in what he has to say than me.
I thought Doug's question was interesting, and I can always go back to what we did at Cal State Northridge in the early 90s. John Price was our coach, and I always thought he had a great vision. He had great ideas, and I remember him kind of putting the onus on us to go out and get people to come to our games. And it became a very fun, very popular thing to do on the campus of Cal State Northridge. That was to come to men's volleyball games. So we were actually right there leading attendance. This is like 1990, 91, 92, 93. We're talking 3,000 a match, 2,500 a match. And in men's volleyball at that time, that's a lot of people. And the gym
absolutely
was packed.
But we would
do the flyers. We would, make friends with people, as you said, and other athletes would come, and we would go support them as well. I think, to Doug's answer, I think we're starting to see that more on universities. You're getting great crowds, and some venues are really great. Texas A&M, Texas, when those guys play each other, Illinois. I think it's just getting it out to the community. What schools have to do is get it out to this community of Seattle. That they're, and I'm just using Seattle as an example because Doug mentioned them, but it's more to the community, not just around your campus, to the community, to Starbucks, to these things that are going on. And, hey, come watch this match, because when people go and they see a high level and they go and they have fun and their students raging, it's addicting. You love the sport. Just like Doug fell in love with it, everybody falls in love with it.
I had an interesting discussion with Ann Cortez and also
– I think Reed was going to speak, and he pays the bills.
Well, I'm start some, if he tries, I'm going to start some music.
Go ahead.
And with Kathy DeBoer of ABC.
Yeah.
Part of the problem is people love to play this game, love to participate. They don't watch. Even those who participate at a high level don't watch.
I know. Doesn't that shock you? Always a
yes
shock.
Yes and no, though, because this comes down to a gender issue for me a little bit. And go ahead, thenetlive@gmail.com. Send me the hate mail. But largely, women are not spectating even their own sports the way that men do. Men spectate sports they've never in their life played. Never. At any decent level, except maybe their backyard. They spectate sports in a way that women do not. And I think that that's one of the reasons we have a female college athlete who dominates the visibility of our sport in our country. And those people don't watch. The juniors' kids don't watch.
I know. It always amazed me. Like, they don't know this show exists. It always amazed me that they never, some of these kids that I coach or that are playing college women's volleyball or men's volleyball had never watched an AVP event. To me, that was crazy because it was like, this is our sport. Yeah, it's beach, but this is our sport on TV.
Yeah.
Like, wouldn't you know exactly when it was going to be on and watch it?
Absolutely.
It always baffles me.
And that's, if you went to a juniors tournament and you asked them to name players on the national team, I'm willing to bet they'd get a couple, but they wouldn't get them because of their time on the national team or this pub in the magazines or anywhere else. They'd get them because they follow the university that the kid played at, not because they've really seen them at the next level, at the highest level, at that gold medal level. We took 3 gold medals. We were in the final for the other one. Unbelievable results that I cannot believe we don't have any sort of spectator base based on how good we are at the sport.
Baffling. And now I'm pissed.
There you go. Reed?
No, because think about it. A gold on the men's side, beating Brazil, one of the great matches ever. Women's team making a miraculous run, losing in the gold medal match. Carrie and Misty winning 112 in a row, beating China in
Sick.
China.
Sick.
Phil and Todd coming back from down 6-1 in the quarterfinals in the third, winning and then burying Brazil in the third game and probably the greatest game ever played by Phil Dahlhauser on the beach. People watch that. How do you not go, I'm following those guys. I'm following Reed and that men's national team because those guys won my hearts over. You know what I mean? It's baffling to me. Now I'm upset.
Hey, if you've got some thoughts on this, email us, thenetlive@gmail.com. It's been a while since we went off on this rant. Thanks, Doug.
Thank God.
We used to go off on this rant
Does
about
Reed
every
have a
week.
Comment? I feel like he's breathing.
Well, if he...
I think he brings up a great point just in terms of...
Oh, hey, Reed, hang on.
That was...
Sorry, Reed.
Awesome.
Go ahead. What did you have to say?
Oh, my gosh.
It's really good.
I'll make it later, Sugar Daddy. It'll be okay.
No, you know, volleyball, I think, is an unbelievable spectator sport. However, it's not a part of pop culture. It's not a part of the American sports culture. And so you only have access to it or exposure to it when you know somebody who plays it. And in my personal experience, everybody who has been anything but a volleyball fan or been exposed to it, but has gotten to know me and come to a game, has always had the same response. Man, that was surprising. That was really exciting to watch. I really enjoyed that. But the problem is we're not getting people who aren't exposed to it. And just like you said, it's kind of like this circular argument where the highest number of participants are the women, and they're not really the ones watching. And maybe that's a generalization, and maybe I'll get some mail as well about that. But I was just thinking about this the other day as I didn't dress on Wednesday in our Champions League match, and I kind of got a different view of the game. You know, when you're doing this day in and day out, it's not like you're turning, you know, the TV on to watch volleyball per se. But I just kind of sat up in the arena. This arena seats like 10,000 people. They don't fill it out, but they fill the lower bowl. And I just saw the environment from a different perspective. I was like, you know what? This reminds me of when I was in high school. I love watching this game. There was something about it that drew me to it. Drew me to it as a player, drew me to it as a spectator. And this game is a spectator sport. And I kind of have a bone to pick with Brandon Rosenthal when he starts talking about the women's game being more appealing to the spectator because of the rallies. I think that's such. I don't buy that at all. It's just because more people are exposed to it because there's more people participating. So if we can somehow get more people in the gym now, having volleyball on TV being appealing, that's a completely different subject. I don't know that I would make the same argument, but a live volleyball match against two high-level teams, whether it be male or female, I think is a very compelling thing to watch.
If you want to
there, now you can play the music.
If you want to,
I feel like I got to get everything in one time because you're going to cut me off anyway.
You should always just end with a thought from him. I mean, he was fired up. When he waits an hour and a half to speak and then he gets a little pissed at us, he's breathing hard. Let's get him in the show.
Is that like Springer?
Let's get him in the show.
Pretty's final thought.
Pretty's final thought.
Be good to each other.
How about thought from the boss?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it has been another great show because Geeta was here.
Am I ever going to be? I know I was on the poster, and I'm really excited about that. Are we ever going to put me in some sort of?
You were nearly know,
some sort of intro.
Yes.
I mean.
Yes.
God.
Someday.
Bless America.
Someday you'll be a part of this.
Okay. That's all I can ask for, Reed.
Hey, we want to put out some special shout outs to Mikasa for dropping by the booth over the weekend. Jordan for throwing some more stuff at us. Kevin Hambley stopped by the program. Ben Bonipo. Memba, you can get his
Ben
entire.
Ben Bonipo was on there.
You can get his entire name. We had him say it back on Friday's show.
So
Molly Alvey of Houston, Santiago Restrepo of Oklahoma, Ann Cortez of the SLU, St. Louis University, who told us all about what a Billiken was. Jay Hossick from Penn State, Hugh McCutcheon from the national team, Russ Rose from four-time champion Penn State, Zamps, and all kinds.
Brandon Rosenthal's best 4 minutes, crushing you.
That was today.
I know, and I loved every second of it.
Linda Hampton Keith for hanging out all weekend. It was a great weekend. It was a good
show. I
want to
go.
Here. You need to be there. We need to do three shows
state
from there next year.
It's tough. I got to really think about my life.
We got to do three shows from there next year, unquestionably. Thank you to Reed for funding the show and putting up with us. We wish you the best of luck. Hope you win a 5-game match here, Reeder. Hope your team gets back to dominance, and you can get another.
24th, Christmas Eve, when you're sitting at home with your family, turn on sportbox.ru and watch us try to win this cup. It's going to be fun. Should be good.
When's our next show?
Next weekend,
27th. Okay.
We're going to have the Netty Awards. That'll be our year-end awards. That's a Monday. That'll be our year-end awards. If you want to give us your year-end awards, they're listed on our Facebook page.
Yeah.
Okay, there's a bunch of different topics. If you want to come up with your own topic, thenetlive@gmail.com. But friend us on Facebook and let us know what you think about who should get the awards. Most interesting, most influential, best volleyball player, biggest disappointment, all those kind of things. So get in there and interact with us. Make this show better. We'll keep doing it. Geeta, thanks a lot.
Was the show better pre-Geeta or post? I mean, that should be one of the things, too.
Post-Geeta.
Okay,
everyone knows that. Come on.
We're on an upward trend. We're getting better. And by the way, the emails are great, but call in, too, because some of you guys write the best emails.
I agree. That's a good point. People do write good email, and we need to hear it. Reader, thanks, dude. Hang in there. Stay warm. Stay
love you, Dad.
The Net Live on the volleyballnetwork.com. We'll see you next week.